Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 18, Text Number 21. Ya tasya te pada sororuharanam nikatmayet nikamayet sakila kama lumpata tad eva rasipsitam ipsito archito yad bhagna yachna bhagavan patapyate natashyate pada saroru haranam nikhamha yad hakila kamaram pata tat eva rasipsitam ipsito chito yad bhagna yachna bhagavan patapyate yatashyate pada saroru haranam nikhamha yad hakila kamaram pata eva rasipsitam ipsitor citato yad bhagna yachna bhagavan patapyate yatasyate pada saroru haranam ikama yad sakila kamaram pata tat eva rasipsitam ipsitor cito yad bhagna yachna bhagavan patapyate. Tadeva raksipitam ipsitorchito Nidbhagna yachnam bhagavan patapyate Yatasyate pansura ruharanam Sitam ipsitor cito nin bhagna yachna bhagavan pratapyate yatasya me parasaror harna nikame sakya kama. Yatasya te pada saroru haranam Ya, a woman who? Tasya, of him. Te, of you. Pada Sararuha, of the lotus feet. Arhanam, the worship. Nikamayat, fully desires. Sa, such a woman. Akila Kamalumpata, although maintaining all kinds of material desire. Tat, that, Eva, only, Rasi, you award, Ipsitam, some other desired benediction. Ipsita, being looked to for. Archita, worshipped. Yet, from which, Bhagna Yachna, one who desires objects other than your lotus feet, and who thus becomes broken. Bhagavan, O my Lord, Patapyate, is pained. So now we know what Artita's name means. Worshipped. And here's the translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Please repeat. My dear Lord, you automatically fulfill all the desires of a woman who worships your lotus feet in pure love. However, if a woman worships your lotus feet for a particular purpose, you also quickly fulfill her desires. But in the end, she becomes broken-hearted and laments. Therefore, one need not worship your lotus feet for some material benefit. So this verse can also, you can also put man there for what the woman is. Anybody that doesn't want to worship Krishna laments. So here's the purport. Srila Rupa Goswami describes pure devotional service as anyabhilasitasunyam jnana karma dinavartam. One should not worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead to fulfill some material desire for success in fruitive activities or mental speculation. To serve the lotus feet of the Lord means to serve Him exactly as He desires. The neophyte devotee is therefore ordered to worship the Lord strictly according to the regular principles given by the spiritual master and the shastras. By executing devotional service in that way, he gradually becomes attached to Krishna. And when his original dormant love for the Lord becomes manifest, he spontaneously serves the Lord without any motive. This condition is the perfect stage of one's relationship with the Lord. The Lord then looks after the comfort and security of His devotee without being asked. Krishna promises in Bhagavad Gita 9:22, Ananyas cintayanto mam yejina paryupasate tesam nityabhayuktanam yogakshem vaham yaham. The Supreme Lord personally takes care of anyone who is completely engaged in His devotional service. Whatever He has, the Lord protects, and whatever He needs, the Lord supplies. Therefore, why should one bother the Lord for something material. Such prayers are unnecessary. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains that even if a devotee wishes the Lord to fulfill a particular desire, the devotee should not be considered a sakama bhakta, a devotee with some motive. In the Bhagavad Gita 7:16, Krishna says, Chattor vidha bhajante mam jana sukritirnorjana artha gigyasa artharti jnani cha bharatarsabha. O best among the bharatas, Arjuna, four kinds of pious men render devotional service unto me: the distressed, the desire of wealth, the inquisitive, and he who is searching for knowledge of the absolute truth. The Artha and the Artharthi, who approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead for relief from misery or for some money, are not Sakama Bhaktas, although they appear to be. Being neophyte devotees, they are simply ignorant. Later, in Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Udhara Sarva Ivhaiti. They are magnanimous, Udhara. Although in the beginning, a devotee may harbor some desire, in due course of time, it will vanish. Therefore, the Srimad Bhagavatam enjoins, Akama Sarva Kama Va Moksha Kama Udhariti. Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yajeta Purusang. A person who has broader intelligence, whether he is full of all material desire, is free from material desire, or has a desire for liberation, must by all means worship the Supreme Whole, the Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.3.10. Even if one wants something material, he should pray to no one but the Lord to fulfill his desire. If one approaches a demigod for the fulfillment of his desires, he is to be considered nashtabhuti, bereft of all good sense. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:20, Kamayastayastar hrithikhyana prapadyantein yadhevata tam tam niyamam ashthaya prakritya niyata svaya. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender unto the demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. Lakshmi Devi advises all devotees who approach the Lord with material desires that according to her practical experience, the Lord is Kamadev, and thus there is no need to ask him for anything material. She says that everyone should simply serve the Lord without any motive. Since the Supreme Personality of Godhead is sitting in everyone's heart, he knows everyone's thoughts, and in due course of time, he will fulfill all desires. Therefore, let us completely depend on the service of the Lord without bothering him with our material requests. Om Jnana Tamanandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chaksarum Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Mukham Krodva Chalam Pangan Lang Hai Tegar Yat Kripa Taraham Vande Sri Gurum Dinataranam Vanchakalpa Chivyascha Kripa Sindhub Devacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivastava Gaura Bhaktavinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In one purport, Srila Prabhupada says, the most difficult task one will ever face in life is to serve Krishna with no motivation. Which means, of course, just desiring to please Krishna. The reason it's so difficult is because we condition souls. We have many desires, a lot of contamination. So it's not easy to be pure. But it is possible because our nature is to be pure. It's actually unnatural for us to be impure. Because by nature we're part and parcel of Krishna. So fortunately we've come across this process of purification where we want to again serve Krishna, worship Krishna. There's a statement, Arana Namasarvadisan. Arārito yadhiris tapasāta tākim, na arārito yadhiris tapasāta tākim. Antārbahir yadhiris tapasāta tākim, nantārbahir yadhiris tapasāta tākim. If one is performing great austerities and penances, but doesn't worship Krishna, understanding him to be the cause of all causes, then what is the worship? What is the use of such austerities? On the other hand, if one does understand that Krishna is the cause of all causes, then one should worship him, then what is the use of performing so many austerities and penances? And if one understands that Krishna is everywhere, within and out, all-pervading, then what is the use of performing austerities, penances? But if one performs austerities and penances and doesn't understand that Krishna is everywhere, within and without, then what is the use of performing the austerities? So the goal is to understand that Krishna, he is everywhere, all-pervading, that he is the supreme worshipable personality, and we should worship him and try to please him in any way we can, according to, as Prabhupada says in the purport here, according to Guru Shastra and Sadhu. So sometimes people ask us, well, how do you serve God? So of course, as was mentioned yesterday, to hear about Krishna, to hear about God, this is the most important service. And because from hearing comes understanding. And from hearing, one develops this desire to also chant the glories of Krishna and remember Krishna. So this is the result of understanding the position of Krishna. In the material world, so many people are worshipping so many different objects, personalities, and objects, and countries. But Krishna, he's the cause of all causes. Everything is coming from him. He's the most wonderful personality. So if we worship Krishna, then we achieve the highest benediction. But the nature is there to worship. People worship rock stars, movie stars. So because that nature is there, they're acting like this. But actually it's just a perverted reflection of who we should worship. This material world, it's stated, Urdhvam Mulam Adashaka Ashutang Praharavi. This material world, it's compared to a banyan tree. An upside down tree. Generally you don't see upside down trees, but you do see it at the bank of a river. If there's a tree on the other side and you look at it and you see it's upside down, the tree's upside down, the roots are up and the branches are down. So this material world, it's a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. Things that are here are also there. There's people, there's relationships, there's trees, there's so much is there that is here. But this is a perverted reflection. It's not the real tree. It's real in one sense, but it's temporary. In the sense that it's temporary, it's not real. I was distributing books at the campus a couple of days ago, and I was explaining Krishna consciousness to one student. He said, yeah, it's a nice myth. I I said, actually, it's not a myth. This is reality. I said, you know what the real myth? The real myth is everybody in this world is thinking that they'll attain ultimate happiness through material sense gratification. He said, yeah, I agree with that. That's another big myth. So this is actually, Prabhupada mentions that this is the main myth, is that people think that they'll be happy through material sense gratification. And it appears like many of the stories coming out of the Bhagavatam or mythology. Krishna's killing so many big demons. Who's heard of such big demons? You know, Aristasura and Putana. We have no experience of this. People think it's mythology. But no, it's real. Krishna can do whatever he wants. He's not limited like we are. And this material nature is also, it's pretty amazing. Krishna, he manipulates this material nature. So the more we're able to take seriously Krishna consciousness, this devotional service, the more we'll be able to understand that these activities of Krishna, they're real. We become free of doubt. It's because of doubts that we don't fully surrender to Krishna. But Arjuna, he said, please slash these doubts. These doubts are like demons that keep us from our real understanding of life. So it requires that we take seriously Krishna consciousness. In the Vedic literatures, it's stated that if one wants to take seriously to Krishna consciousness, there's five things that one must do. Sadhu Sangha, Nam Kirtan, Bhagavad Shravana, Mathura Vas, Sri Mathura Shuddhaya Seva. Associate with devotees who are very interested in advancing in Krishna consciousness. There's different types of devotees. Some devotees they want to serve Krishna, but they're not real enthusiastic. They also have some attachments to material life, and it shows in their activities. So, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he said there's non-devotees in the dress of Vaishnavas. So we have to try to associate with those who are very much interested in pleasing Krishna and serving Krishna with no motivation. Sometimes we come to Krishna consciousness with a desire to surrender to Krishna, but then our old habits set in and we start thinking of how to enjoy Krishna consciousness rather than try to serve Krishna. This desire to enjoy it's there because it's there in Krishna. But we're trying to act in such a way that our only desire is to please Krishna. If we act in this way, then we'll be satisfied. If we just act out of a selfish way, trying to enjoy ourselves, then it's not going to happen. We're not going to be satisfied. But if we act in a way to please Krishna, then we'll be satisfied. Because Krishna, he's in control of everything. He's also in control of our happiness and our distress. So if we please Krishna, then he'll fill us with so much happiness, we won't know what to do with it. We're so satisfied by this service to Krishna. So, in the purport here, Srila Prabhupada, he mentions one verse here, Ananyas Chintayantoma, that devotees, they don't have to worry about anything. They don't have to pray to God for some material facility. Krishna, he's in the hearts of everyone. He knows what we need. We don't have to pray for it. It's like there's one religious group, they pray, please, Lord, give us our daily bread. But we don't have to pray to God for daily bread. Krishna is giving food to the birds and to the ants and the elephants. They're not praying to God for food. The food is coming. So we don't have to pray to God for bread, for anything, actually, except for devotional service. Srila Prabhupada, he was speaking about this one time in class, and he said, we are not interested in bread business with God. Praying to God for bread. No. We're praying to God, to Krishna, for a pure desire to please Him. This is what we want. Everything else will come. Everything else that we need will come. But this is not an easy thing. We can do so many things, but to get free of material desires, to become pure, that we have to really pray to Krishna. We have to depend. Chaitasa sarvakarmani mayis nyasimapara. Krishna says that in all activities, just depend upon me and always work under my protection. In such activity, just fully depend upon me. So there's many obstacles that we will face in our attempt to engage in unmotivated devotional service. Machchita, sarva dargani, prasada trishasi, atachva tvang ahankara, maseoshichi, maruta. If you become conscious of me, Krishna says, then you'll cross over all the obstacles on your path to devotional service. If, however, you act out of false ego and you don't hear me, then you'll be lost. So this is the goal, to always think of Krishna, then no problem. Obstacles will be very quickly removed. So I mentioned about this statement by Krishna that this material world, it's compared to a banyan tree. A few verses later, he explains how to get out of this entanglement, of this perverted reflection in the material world. He says, Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha adhyatma nidya vinivutta karma dvandvara vimukta sukha-dukha sanya gacchanchimura paramabhyatanta. He says, you have to become free of false ego, first of all. This bodily conception of life that I'm American, I'm Chinese, I'm black, I'm white, I'm Spanish. This is all a false ego. False understanding of our identity. So that's not an easy thing, just to get free of the first point there that Krishna makes, to get free of false ego. And we have our real ego, understanding that we're the eternal servants of Krishna. This is our real identity. So this process brings out this real identity of pure devotional service, of unmotivated devotional service. Britya. One name of the living entity is Britya, servant. We're all servants. Either we have to serve Krishna or we have to serve the material nature. But if we serve the material nature, then we get kicked. We serve Krishna, we become liberated from material life. Nirmana moha. Jita sanga dosha. Free of illusion, free of bad association. Nirmana moha jita sanga dosha adhyatma nitya, who understands the eternal. Vinivritti kama, who is free of lust. You know, we've heard this saying that love is blind. Probably all heard this, love is blind. Actually, love is not blind. If one is in love, then one sees everything clearly. But love is only between the living entity and Krishna. So people are confusing lust with love. Lust is blind. That's true. People do so many foolish things controlled by lust. So lust is blind. And therefore people do so many foolish things, get themselves in so many varieties of trouble. But love? No, this is the goal. Everybody wants love. But people are confused. They have no idea what love is. Love is between the living entity and Krishna. There's a statement in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that the desire for the living entity to satisfy the senses, this is lust. And the desire to satisfy the senses of Krishna, this is love. So this is the definition of love. To try to satisfy the senses of Krishna. And if someone does that, then he's in love. She's in love. Because there is full satisfaction. One sees everything clearly. Everything is understood. Nimana moha jita sanga dosha adhyatma nitya vinivritti kama dvandvara vimukta sukaduka sangya gacchanchi mudha paramavyamta. Who is free of the duality of happiness and distress. Yeah. It's like, you know, this amazing pastime in the Bhagavatam of this king who wanted to have a son. And he couldn't have one. He had so many wives, thousands of wives. Couldn't have a son. He was lamenting so much. He was just miserable. He was a devotee, but he was miserable because a king, you got to have a son, you know, to carry on the line. So Narada Muni went there, saw that he was so distressed. Why are you so distressed? Oh, sage, I'm trying to have a son. Can't have one. All my wives are barren. I bless you to have a son. But your sons will be named Harshashoka. Happiness and distress. And this king was thinking, well, maybe he won't be very obedient, but that's alright. At least I'll have a son. So then, one of his wives had a son. He was so happy. He was in ecstasy. So happy. I remember one time I was in the airport in line to get a ticket. And this lady was in front of me. And she was so happy. She was just like bubbling over with joy. She's going to Europe on a vacation. She was just so happy talking to her friends. And she got up to the counter and she handed the lady her passport. And the lady at the counter, she said, I'm sorry, but your passport has expired. You can't go. And it's amazing. From in 1 second, she was so happy. And then she was crying. Tears were just coming down. That was the most intense sight of happiness and distress I'd ever seen in my life. She was just bubbling over with joy. And then she was just crying, bawling. It's like, ah! That's amazing. So this king, he was like that. He was bubbling over with joy. He was so happy. I have a son now. Beautiful boy. But there was a problem. Only one of the queens had the son. And she was getting all the attention of the king. And the other wives couldn't appreciate this at all. So they're becoming very envious of this one queen that was getting all the attention of the king. So they did the most heinous thing, atrocious thing. They came up with a plan to poison the boy. Can you believe it? Amazing. So they killed him. The maidservant went in there and saw that the boy's eyes were rolled up. He was dead. Started crying. And then the queen went in there. What's wrong? She saw that the boy was dead. She's crying, lamenting, so distraught. Then the king finds out that his son's dead and he couldn't even walk properly. It's described that he was just stumbling practically. He couldn't even walk. He was so distressed. So this is the nature of this world. Happiness and distress. So then Narada Muni came. Saw everybody so distraught, so disturbed by this turn of events. So then he told the soul in the body, Why have you left untimely? It's described in the Bhagavatam. Jivu Vacha, the Jiva said, I am moving according to the direction of Krishna, of God. I was in this family for some time. Now I'm going on to another family according to my destination. This was my mother and my father before. Now I'm going to have another mother and father. I've had so many mothers and fathers. Amazing. So then everybody was like completely self-realized, just seeing this happen by the mercy of Narada Muni. And then the boy of the body went down again. He left his body again. Went on to his destination, wherever that was. So this is the nature of this world, is happiness and distress. But if we surrender to Krishna, then only happiness. No problem. It may appear like there's some distress sometimes. It's like the gopis. They were lamenting. Where is Krishna? Can't see Krishna. But actually this distress is the greatest happiness. The greatest pleasure. So maybe we'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Okay. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, a lot of wives.
Someone would say, according to the statistics, you know, 10,000 could be barren.
How many, do you remember, Archita? How many? Millions?
10 million.
10 million.
Because you mentioned the word mythology. What did this doesn't
kind mean? Of hard to grasp that, right?
How could you?
That's a lot of wives. But this is my understanding is that this is in Satya Yuga. They lived long time. You know, for us, you know, they live 80 years. You can't even. You know, there's not that many days even. You know, where you try to have a child. You know? But he was living another time. They lived for how many years? 100,000 years. So, it's kind of feasible if you consider the time. And there was another instance of some devotees, disciples of Srila Prabhupada, who had a doubt about the how many 11 quadrillion? Yeah. So they had that doubt. And Prabhupada became angry. He said, this is Shastra. Don't doubt Shastra. You know, when Krishna comes, you know, he comes with a whole, you know, retinue, almost, you know, a whole huge team of, you know, great Vaishnavas and the whole spiritual world. You know, it's not that when Krishna was in Vrindavan, you know, how many cows did he have? He had so many, you know, thousands and thousands of cows and so many cowherd boys. So he comes with this whole spiritual realm that's expanding and extracting. And it's just so we can't understand with our little brains the activities of Krishna and Krishna's devotees. Yes.
I heard this secondhand, but I heard that your spiritual master once, when he was giving the class, somebody asked the question of the nature of that, like, you know, how's this possible? And his, you know, something Krishna did, and he responded by asking a question. Well, you know, is a God's activity is going to be ordinary or extraordinary? And of course, the answer is extraordinary. So, you know, we expect. I mean, when Krishna comes, he's not going to just eat peanut butter and jelly sandwiches or something like that. You know,
yeah, he's not just going to be an ordinary person, just acting like an ordinary person.
And, and also on that occasion, with those devotees who asked that question, it was up here in Prabhupada's room.
Yeah.
Prabhupada made the point that when we don't understand something in the scripture, we should take it as our inadequacy or our deficiency. You know, we should find, see that, you know, the defect is with us, not with the Shastra, which, oh, I can't understand. You know, we should take it as our shortcoming, not...
Yeah, we make mistakes all the time.
Yeah.
But Krishna doesn't make mistakes. Shastra doesn't make mistakes. So but we're very limited. So we shouldn't put our limited understanding and try to understand the absolute truth. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.